So on one hand, we have all these divisions in an ungodly way. On the other hand, we have these crossovers in an ungodly way, with the result that we have split churches teaching and watering down the Word of God, ultimately to please man rather than God.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today you turn your attention to men, specifically older men, to address how they are to live.
You know, Dave, while this message certainly is for older men, it has value and application for all of us, for younger men and even women. Now, indeed, 2 Timothy tells us that all Scripture is profitable, not just the passages that are directly related to us, but there are applications for each and every one of us. So with this in mind, let us see what the Apostle Paul has to say to older men. Our passage is Titus chapter 2, verse 2.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
These days, many churches seem to be schizophrenic, and you're saying, well, what do you mean by that? On one hand, the church now starts to isolate different groups based on preferences or music styles. There are contemporary services. There are traditional services. There are different parts of services isolated for different parts of the church based on age or preference or whatever it might be. Services to please older folks with hymns and to keep the younger kids entertained with music, with the result ultimately of a divided church, of a body that does not know one another, that does not fellowship together with one another because they are separated from one another. But on the other hand, we have portions of the church that take our oneness in Christ to an extreme, eliminating gender and racial distinctions in areas that God has not eliminated. For instance, as an example, the amillennialists make Gentiles Jews. Liberal churches skew the distinction between men and women and the roles that God has ordained. So on one hand, we have all these divisions in an ungodly way. On the other hand, we have these crossovers in an ungodly way, with the result that we have split churches teaching and watering down the Word of God, ultimately to please man rather than God. Now, certainly in Christ, we are one, and the majority of Scripture is addressed to all of us. But there are sections in Scripture that are addressed to specific groups of people within the body of Christ. And we've come to a chapter in Titus in which we have commands for different people in the body of Christ. And these commands are for, as we'll see, older men, older women, younger men, for bond slaves, and even for Titus himself. But one thing I think we'll see, although these commands are related to those groups and are first and foremost applied to each one, there's some crossover in which all of us have some responsibility in these areas. But first of all, we need to recognize that God does have specific commands for specific groups of people based on age and gender. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to begin that look, if you turn with me in your Bibles, to Titus chapter 2. And we're going to be looking today at verse 2. And we're going to be looking at the issue of older men. And you're saying, well, I'm not an old man yet, so this doesn't apply to me. Well, eventually, Lord willing, you will be an old man, or some of you are saying, I'm not even a man. Well, obviously, that doesn't apply to you specifically, but there are some truths, as we will see, that cross over between the genders, but we need to recognize God does instruct older men, and then He will instruct older women, He will instruct the younger women, and He will instruct the younger men. So we all want to know together what God has to say in terms of what we are to be in Christ. Okay, a little context for the book of Titus. The Apostle Paul is writing to his true child in a common faith. Titus was a Greek. He was a faithful man. He was a faithful companion of the Apostle Paul. And somewhere along the line, as Titus was serving the Lord by serving Paul, Paul left him on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean to, as we see in chapter 1, set in order what remains. And then he shares what he needs to do, appoint elders in every city, because there are those rebellious men, those empty talkers, those people who are ultimately teaching things they should not teach, upsetting whole households. And there was a lack of leadership, and there was also dangerous spiritual wolves out there. And we've gone through the whole issue of leadership extensively, and now we're moving into another portion of Titus in which we see commands concerning what we are to be. Now, last week, we looked at kind of an overview of the second chapter of Titus. And I think as we look at each portion here, we need to keep that overview in mind, because we can't just come to a portion that says, older man, do this, and then just think about that alone. It's in a context. Also, we can't do this for the younger women. Many people will say, younger women, here's what you've got to do. But they don't tell them what it's based on and how they are able to do that. And the whole chapter gives us those instructions. We saw last week that sound doctrine or sound teaching, not sick teaching, but sound teaching of the Word of God is the foundation, ultimately, for how we are to live the Christian life. That's verse 1. And then we saw, and we're going to see in verses 2 through 10, what we are to be in Christ. And then verses 11 through 14 show us how we can be that way in Christ, because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And that same grace in the person of Christ through the Word of God is instructing us to live the right way because we've been redeemed. And so we'll see that as we get to that point. And then lastly, in the end of chapter 2, we have the warning for anyone not to reject or despise or disregard anything that Titus says here concerning these truths that God has revealed. Okay, so with that in mind, how are we to live the Christian life? Ultimately, we'll see. You can't live the Christian life unless you are a Christian, unless Christ is in you. But we're going to look at some specific commands today for older men, and we'll review back and look at how we can do that. Again, Titus chapter 2, and let's take a look at verse 1 first. But for you, as for you, speak things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Remember, Titus was commanded to speak sound doctrine in contrast to all the bad guys twisting scripture, teaching unsound doctrine, things they shouldn't teach. And now, in verse 2, we have the sound doctrine concerning what we are to be. Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Lord willing, we'll look at that today and see what that means in its context. Now, before we begin, we need to understand the fact that he's not just going to address older men here. We're going to see, beginning of verse 3, older women. Middle of 3, younger women. Middle of 6, young men. So we have categories here broken down. We need to recognize God is making categories here within the body of Christ. Older men, older women, younger women, younger men. And he has very similar but slightly different instructions based on age and gender. Okay, so it's interesting, ultimately, that although we are all one in Christ, there are these differing instructions. Now, sometimes, as I've shared earlier, there are those who twist scripture to make it apply to their theology, and they'll take a passage like Galatians chapter 3, 26, which Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Since we're all one, then we're all equal, and therefore there's no male leadership or whatever it might be, and they just skew it all together. And in context, what he's saying there is, in terms of salvation, we are all one in Christ. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, a Gentile, male or female, but it doesn't take away our distinctions. And we're going to see that today. Older men. Well, what are older men to be? We see three things specifically at first: temperate, dignified, sensible. And then we're going to see three related things together: sound in faith, love, and perseverance. And this verb that's used, to be, is really a present tense infinitive. It just means older men are to continually, habitually be this way. God says to you, older men, this is what you are to be. And I find it amazing that he doesn't say, well, it doesn't apply if you are a new believer and an older man. I find it very interesting that he doesn't say that, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we see older men are to be. So hopefully, even though some of you are not men, that you'll pay attention to see what God requires of older men. And hopefully, if you're a younger man, you'll pay really good attention, because you will be, Lord willing, an older man someday. We will be older men. And that leads to the question, how old is he talking about? What is an older man in Scripture? What is the age for that? Well, the term here is kind of a cognate of the term elder. It really means to be an aged man, or literally an old man. And we have this term used two other times in Scripture to describe older men. It was used to speak of Zacharias when he shared his response to the angel that came and said that his wife was going to have a son, and they were way past the childbearing age. Zacharias says this, Luke 1:18, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this for certain? For I am, here's our word, an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." So first of all, old men are advanced in years, right? Secondly, we also see this spoken of as the Apostle Paul shares this about himself in Philemon. Philemon 1:8 and 9. And my other little boy was looking through the Bible while we were sitting here, and he goes, "That's a short book, Daddy." And he was looking at Philemon. You know, so it is a short book. And so we have one chapter there. Philemon, verse 8. Paul says, "Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do that which is proper." See, Philemon's slave came to faith, and Paul is exhorting this believer to treat him rightly in Christ ultimately. And he says, "Yet for love's sake, I appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged." I'm Paul, the old man, he's saying. So Paul was at this time advanced in his years also. So what age constitutes an old man? Well, we don't know exactly. God hasn't given us the specifics concerning old age. We know one thing about women who are to be put on the list as widows. They're to be above 60, right? We know that's probably an age of being old, maybe. And that's 1 Timothy 5:9. But does it really matter to know exactly what date we are old men or not? It really doesn't, right? Basically, we could say it's probably around 60 years old that we are aged. And if you're over 60, you've been around for a while. You've been around for some time. If you're 56 or 57, should we ignore these commands? No. We're getting close. We may even be at that point. So just to remember, it's speaking of aged men. It's people who have lived life for quite a period of time, regardless of whether they knew Christ or not, but now they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So what are we supposed to see here? What does he want us to see here? What are older men to be? First of all, I believe we're going to see they are to exhibit Christ-like character. We saw this with elders, right? Titus chapter 2. Older men, verse 2, are to be, and he says three things: temperate, dignified, and sensible. Three aspects specifically he points to concerning older men. First of all, they are to be temperate. And the word literally means without wine. And in the context, as we saw in chapter 1, if you'll remember, it's not speaking of someone who doesn't drink wine, because later on it speaks of elders to not have much wine. It's speaking of someone who came to be recognized as someone who is sober. The term temperate was just a term to describe sobriety, someone who is sober. It's a character trait. Older men are to be temperate. We saw this characteristic of Christ-likeness as a qualification for elders in 1 Timothy 3, and I'll read this for you. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. "It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate." Elders must be this way. Older men are to be this way. They are to be this way. Now, it's interesting. It's also a characteristic of recognized servants in the church. And what I mean by that, I mean deacons. The term deacon means servant. Now, our churches these days have made deacons into elders, so it gets all messed up. Elders are those who shepherd the flock. Deacons serve. And we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3, later on, this term temperate applied. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity. We'll see that in a little bit. Not double-tongued, nor addicted to much wine, nor fond of sordid gain, but holding fast the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them first be tested. And by the way, just a sidetrack here, we don't have any official deacons yet, but there are those serving as deacons, and they're in that being tested time right now. We're watching and seeing if they are these qualities, and we're seeing that in people, and someday we will recognize that as the Lord wills. But here he says, but let them first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And we believe ultimately, because the deacon is not an authoritative position, because in Romans 16 it speaks of Phoebe as a deacon of the church of Cenchrea, that he's speaking of men and women deacons, not women elders, but men and women deacons here. And one quality is that they are to be temperate. They are to be, they have this sober quality. Older men in Christ are not to be intoxicated by anything. That's what it means. Not intoxicated. They are not to be controlled by wine, worry, or their own desires, but they are to be controlled by Christ. We see that qualification for elders and also specifically for women deacons. And we see it here for older men. They have lived long enough, even in their sinful state, to recognize and see, now that they're saved, the wickedness and destruction of being controlled by anything other than Christ. By virtue of their age, now being in the faith, whether it's a new believer or an old believer, they have seen the futility of being intoxicated and controlled by anything other than Christ. They are to be temperate. One pastor writes that it describes a man who is watchful to be free from intoxicating effects of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and thus remains circumspect, sober, vigilant. Such an attitude is to be his lifestyle. Old men should have learned what they are and what they are not. Ungodly pleasures and the passing pleasures of sin and of self-indulgence cost far more than what they are worth. A temperate person, he writes, avoids excess, extravagance, overindulgence of appetites and passions. Older men are to be temperate. If you are an older man in here, God is telling you this is what you are to be. This should be a characteristic of you, not controlled or intoxicated by anything, right? Older men in Christ, as we'll see. Now, some of you may not know Christ. You may be older men. You're saying, I can't not do this, and you can't because you are a slave to sin, as all of us were to. It is only Christ who sets us free and enables us to be temperate. Older men are to be temperate. Let me ask you, are you an older man? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you are to be temperate. Not controlled by any pleasures, wine, worry, your own desires, but Christ. This is what you are to be, and only Christ can enable you to be that way. Older men are to be temperate. Well, what else do we see? Older men are to be, back to Titus 2, temperate. Second word, dignified. This phrase speaks of serious and worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect. Serious and worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect. Dignified. This is what older men in Christ are to be. And along with being temperate, this command is also given to others in Scripture apart from old men. Remember, we saw it earlier as a qualification for elders concerning how they handle their children. Do you remember that when we looked at how elders are supposed to control their children or have them in submission with all dignity? It speaks of behavior and conduct worthy of respect and reverence. When the dad is out there screaming and yelling and trying to get his kids under control, that's not worthy of all respect.
Now, we've all done that, but we should grow up and we should learn and ultimately be dignified. An older man are to be dignified. It's also a characteristic of deacons, both male and female. And I'll read this again. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity. First thing, dignity, men of dignity. Not double-tongued. Now, here are the requirements for deacons. This is now, when I read this, you'll know why we haven't put deacons out yet, why we're testing and waiting and seeing, and that time is coming. And people are serving as deacons, but they haven't been recognized yet, and that's coming. But he says, deacons must likewise be men of dignity. That's our word. Not double-tongued, addicted to much wine, fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let these also first be tested, and then let them serve as deacons, if they are above reproach. Women must likewise be first thing for deacons. Dignified. Dignified. Serious conduct, worthy conduct that earns reverence and respect when Christ is in control of a hardened life. That's how people are going to act. That's how they're going to act, right? And also, if you look down a couple more verses in Titus chapter 2, you see that Titus is commanded to be this way too. Titus 2, verse 7, and we'll go to 6 here. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Now he's going back to Titus. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified. Dignified. Older men are to be dignified. Temperate, dignified. This is what you are to be. And again, you can't do it apart from Christ working in you. And it's an evidence whether he is working in you or not. Well, what's the last thing here we see? Temperate, dignified, and then sensible. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible. And we've seen this word before, sophron. We've seen it earlier in chapter 1. Well, what does this word mean, sophron? It comes from two words, sozo, which means to save, phren or phron, which means mind, saved mind. It really speaks of thinking sensibly, thinking rightly. You think of someone who is sensible, they're thinking rightly. When you talk to someone who is sensible, they're thinking rightly as you converse with them, right? Here, in the biblical context, they are thinking rightly in relationship to what God has revealed concerning their situations in him and them. Sensible. We see this word in 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is at hand. God's coming to judge. You just talked about that. Don't live anymore for your own will, but for the will of Christ. He says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment. Be sophronizo. Be sensible. Think rightly. Think rightly. Think rightly. The word literally speaks of being in one's right mind. And I shared this when we were in chapter 1. It spoke of the demoniac who had a legion cast from him, Mark chapter 5, verse 14. And the herdsmen ran away and reported in the city and out in the country. And this was Jesus. He cast out the demons and they went into a herd of swine and went over the hill. And they came to Jesus and observed a man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, sophronizo, clothed and in his right mind.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, it would seem that as we get older, we're supposed to lose our sense of humor and become serious if we really want to be godly older men.
So you're saying, Dave, that older men need to be stuffy and serious. Well, the reality is not whether we have a sense of humor or not. It's about character. It's about being temperate and dignified and sensible, and these should be characteristics of older men who desire to be godly. And within that context, you know, certainly a sense of humor is allowed, but we always must keep in mind when we're talking about that, that at any age it should never be characterized by coarse jokes or stories or speech that would not be building up just in order to get someone to laugh. So then not only older men, but all of us should have righteous, uplifting, godly speech that edifies and builds up those around us in Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.